You have no idea what blessing your preacher did for you by not having me sing. It's the truth of the matter. I can't play a radio and make it turn out right. So, before we get to our passage this evening, let me say this to Calvary Baptist Church. Thank you so much. It has been a joy this week. It's sometimes when you go to a place and you don't know the folks and that kind of stuff, but to watch y'all work together and watch how y'all have conducted yourselves, from the music to the meals to just serving and being around one another, it has been an extreme blessing on my behalf to my family. We've talked about it several times. And so just wanted to say thank you so much for letting us come this week, be a part of it. I thought maybe tonight we would get a bad meal, but nope, we didn't get it tonight either. And so every meal was just right on target. And appreciate you feeding us, taking such good care of us. You really spoiled us to a fault, and I mean that. And so thank you so very much for your generosity and hospitality. Luke chapter 17 tonight. Let's stand together. As the pastor alluded to, I'm still dealing with whatever it is, all right, sinus, allergies, whatever. But I trust that it won't be a distraction tonight as we look to the scriptures and see that which the Lord has for us this evening. Luke chapter number 17, you look with me if you would, beginning in verse number 11. Luke chapter 17, verse 11. The Bible says it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. As he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said unto them, "Go show yourselves unto the priests." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger?" And he said unto him, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." Our Father, tonight we do thank you for the privilege that we've had to be gathered all this week. Dear Lord, I'm so grateful that you're able to take your word. And dear Lord, in an auditorium like this tonight, where there's so many needs, so many backgrounds, so many just things of life going on, that dear Lord, you're able to take your word and reach down and meet every need and every situation. And God, I pray tonight that you'd help us as we preach. I pray, dear Lord, that you'd touch my voice tonight and you help me not to be a distraction or a hindrance in any way. God, I pray for liberty to be able to preach, get across that which you've laid upon our heart for this evening. And God, we'll be careful as we ask it together in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so very much. You may be seated. According to verse number 11 and verse 12, we find that as Jesus was traveling on his way to Jerusalem, that he came upon a certain village. And as he was entering into this village, the Bible says that there met him 10 men who stood afar off, and these men happened to be lepers. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you understand that by being lepers, these men had a very contagious and a very serious disease upon their body. They would have been disfigured. They would have been deformed. Many of them perhaps would have had the loss of appendages like their fingers and their toes, maybe an ear or so forth. Had you been able to get near them, you would have had to take a cloth and put it over your mouth and over your nose, and not just to try to keep from getting what they had, but also to honestly hide your nose and things from the stench of the rotting flesh and the things that they were dealing with. These men would have been to the point that they probably would have scared Frankenstein's monster, all right? Just to be real honest. And as these men stood off from the Lord, we find that their only hope is the Lord Jesus Christ. May I say, without trying to chase a rabbit tonight, and this isn't the message, but it is good truth for us. Ladies and gentlemen, the answer to this world's problem and their sin, which leprosy is a type in the Bible of sin, my friend, the answer is still Jesus Christ. Hey, the answer is not the midterm elections. It's not getting the Republicans back in the presidency, though I'd be all for it. The answer to the depravity and the sin and the disease that fallen man has is the Lord Jesus Christ. And these men understood what they needed. And they cried and they said, Jesus, Master. Now that word master doesn't just mean rabbi or teacher, but it means more than that. It means commander, overseer, one in total control. And when these men called out unto the Lord, they knew that their only hope was Jesus. And so they called to him. In verse 14, it says, when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. Now, in Leviticus chapter 14, verse number 2, we find that it's in the law, in order for a leper to be able to re-enter society, he would have to go and show himself before the priest, and the priest would have to declare him clean and allow him back in to society. Hey, in Bible times, the priests were the CDC before the CDC was around, all right? And have all that nonsense like we do today. But the priest would look at them, determine that they were in fact were healed, had no issues with that leprosy anymore, and they'd allow them to return. We're told in the passage tonight that Jesus tells all 10 men, go show yourself to the priest. The Bible says, as they went. Somewhere from the time that they had called out unto the Lord Jesus to have mercy on them to the time that they had turned around and went to go find the priests, they got healed. Now, I like to read the Bible. Please don't think bad of me tonight, but I like to use my imagination sometimes to wonder what it would have been like. And I can just imagine these men that had rotten flesh and all kind of just really an atrocious appearance about them. And I can just imagine that dead skin falling off, and all of a sudden there's new skin there. And as they're running and they're going to show themselves, they start looking and they start realizing what has happened to them. The excitement. The joy that must have filled their soul when they realized what has been done. Now let me say something right here tonight, if I might. Just because these men, all 10 of them by the way, were healed physically, doesn't mean necessarily that they were all saved spiritually. Now, I understand we can make application about the physical healing that the Lord, when he performed miracles and those kind of things. And certainly these things are written for our learning and for our admonition, and there's application. I understand that. But not every time was somebody who was healed physically automatically saved spiritually. I draw your attention to John chapter 9. There was a man who was born blind. And the disciples came to Jesus and they said, "Who sinned, he or his parents?" And Jesus said, "Neither, but for the glory of God this is done." And that man got healed. And the religious crowd, the Pharisees, the scribes, they didn't like it. And they kicked that man out of the temple. And the Bible says that Jesus went and found him. He can see now. He's been given his sight. And God has been glorified and honored through the miracle of healing that's been performed in his life. But Jesus asked him. He said, "Believest thou on the Son of God?" And that man replied, "Who is he?" I'm going to tell you tonight, you don't get saved without knowing who Jesus is. This idea today, well, I was saved because I had a funny feeling in my soul, or I got saved one night when I was looking up to the stars. You ever talk to people today and what they hang their salvation is really scary, ladies and gentlemen. That man didn't know Jesus. Now, thankful, I'm glad he got to meet Jesus and he got saved, but he had been healed first and he still wasn't saved. So what's your point, preacher? I'm just telling you, tonight, when we're talking about these men, and we're going to get into the thoughts that God has for us, I just want you to understand that just because all 10 were cleansed doesn't mean that all 10 got born again. Now, look with me, would you please, in verse 15. Because here's what I want you to see. Bible says, "And one of them." Now, at one point, there were 10 of them. But now there's only one of them. "And one of them," according to verse 15, "when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks." Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me tonight. I want to preach to you on this subject about giving God thanks. What I'd like to do is I'd like to go through the passage, lay out our points, and then give you the direct title of the message at the end. That be all right tonight? Good, I was going to do it anyway, but just thought I'd ask. Luke chapter 17, we find here in verse 15, first of all, the deliberate responsibility. Say, what do you mean? It says, "One of them when he saw." Now, that word "saw" doesn't mean that he just looked on, noticed it, and then went his way. But that word "saw" means to comprehend. He began to understand. It began to get a hold of him what has been done to him. And ladies and gentlemen, he then turned, begins to realize he has a responsibility to be able to give thanks because of what has been done for him. Hey, he saw it. He realized it. I'm on our kids at the church all the time. And I'm on my own children, actually. You send them after something, and they'll walk in the room, and they'll have clothes, or they'll have something left out, and they'll walk right by it. And I say, "Hey, did you see that?" "Yeah, Dad, I saw it." "Why don't you put it up?" "Oh." My wife asked me when the boys were getting older, She goes, why is their answer to everything? I don't know. I said, sweetheart, really? That's boys. Half the time they're telling you the truth. They don't know. But sometimes in our generation, we look at things and we see it, but it doesn't comprehend. It doesn't move us to respond and realize we have a responsibility. You try to teach children that. Don't just walk by something. Take responsibility for it. Well, we as God's children have a responsibility to Him. When we see what He's done for us and how He's blessed us and how He's taken care of us and the things He's provided and done in our life, then ladies and gentlemen, we need to get a good look and take and realize I have a responsibility to say thank you unto God. Hey. His giving of thanks was not something that just happened by accident. He wasn't waiting around until he was emotionally overwhelmed and felt like he ought to be moved in that direction. Can I tell you, my friend, every single child of God has the same responsibility tonight before the Lord, and that is we all owe God a huge thank you. Every one of us. And it's not just about, well, you know, preacher, I'm just waiting around until I feel like it. Hey, your flesh doesn't always feel like being grateful. But he still deserves it. Let me read you some Bible verses tonight. Psalm 92, verse 1. The Bible says it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. We are bound to give thanks always to God. Did you hear what it said? Each and every one, we are bound. We owe the Lord. That word bound has the idea of slavery. Well, hey, we owe it to Him. By the way, nobody can be thankful for you. You have to be thankful for yourself. Hey, I'm thankful for what God's done in my life. I'm thankful tonight for what He's done in my family's life. I'm thankful for what He's done in my church family and all of, but when it comes right down to it, I can't make my wife be thankful. I can't make my children to be thankful. I have a responsibility personally before God to be thankful to Him as much as she has a responsibility to be thankful, and so does every single child of God. Every one of us. Hey, I'm going to read you another verse or two. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything. That's easier said than done, isn't it? But it doesn't negate the truth of what we read and we hear from the Word of God. In everything, it's God's will that we give thanks. Hey, Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. The Bible says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. Do you know what God wants out of Calvary Baptist Church tonight? He wants the membership of Calvary Baptist Church to be grateful and thankful to who their God is. Bible says you're called into one body. Is that not what your theme is? The church, which is His body and members in particular? You say, well, yeah, but preacher, you know, if you're a member of Calvary Baptist, then your responsibility is the same as everybody else's, and it's to be thankful. Hey. If we're not careful, sometimes we end up trying to leave it to chance. We just say, well, you know, when I feel like it and things like that, and we let those opportunities to be grateful and express our gratitude to the Lord, we let those things bypass us. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm just trying to get us to understand, as you're a member of this body, and I'm a member of the body at Bible Baptist in Duncan, Oklahoma, hey, the Lord says to every church, it is their responsibility to be thankful as a group of people. So, we see the deliberate responsibility. But notice also with me tonight, the direct response. So what do you mean by that? Well, look how he expressed this gratitude. Look what it says in verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, notice this, with a loud voice, glorified God. Now those two words there are interesting. The word loud and the word voice. They're actually, and please, I don't labor on Greek words and that kind of stuff, but I'm just going to do this tonight to help us understand exactly what these words are. The word loud there is from the word, we get the word mega. Voice comes from the word phoné. It's where we get the English word megaphone. You know what this guy did? When he realized what God had done for him, he cupped his hands and started shouting and started getting everybody's attention and used it as a megaphone to portray and help people to realize, hey, look what God has done for me. Can I tell you, there's nothing wrong with us using our voice. And it's not just, and please don't misunderstand, I'm not one of these that want to pump people up and that kind of stuff, but I am telling you, we have taken a back seat to the charismatic and the Pentecostal crowds for way too long. We as God's people have a reason to be excited, and we ought to express our gratitude and that which he's done in our lives. He did it vocally. Hey, I don't know how things necessarily transpire here at Calvary, but if the opportunity comes and you're allowed to give testimonies and those things, you ought to, hey, I think it's a sad day sometimes when the preacher has to come to the pulpit and try to pump and prime people to give a testimony. I think God's people ought to be willing and wanting to lift their voice and tell others what God has done for them. It was vocal. But notice something else with me. It was visible. So what are you saying, preacher? Look at verse 16. And fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. He was willing to bow. He was willing to humble himself and put himself on his face before the one who had done so much for him, and he's willing to express his thanksgiving and his gratitude visibly. When I first got saved, God was dealing with me about using the altar more than what I did. And I'm just being honest with you. He was working in my heart, working in my life about it. And I was like, Lord, I use the altar. You know, you're trying to justify when God's trying to pinpoint things. And I'll never forget it. I went one time and I was at a coffee shop and pulled out my wallet, pulled out a $20 bill to pay for it. And I dropped that $20 And lo and behold, I was willing to hit my knees for 20 bucks. And almost immediately, the Lord was like, you don't mind publicly getting on your knees looking for that bill. And yet sometimes you're worried about what other people think when you come to the altar. Can I tell you tonight, the altar is not just always about sin. It's not always about trying to confess things, though we've talked about that this week already. It's not just a place to where sometimes you have to get things squared away with the Lord. Sometimes it's just about coming and bowing before your King and before your God and saying, Lord, I just want to tell you, I got nothing else on my plate tonight. No other agenda. I'm not asking you for a thing. I just want to tell you how much I love you, how much I appreciate you, how good you've been to me. Oh God, thank you. Sometimes we need to use the altar a whole lot more than what we do for the very purpose of just telling God, thank you. It was vocal. It was visible. Now let me say this tonight. It was valid. Look at what Jesus says here. It says that he fell on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. Now notice this, the Bible says right here, he was a Samaritan. Out of everybody you would have thought to give thanks and gratitude would not have been this guy. But you know what he's doing? He didn't care what everybody else is doing. And tonight, you can't wait all the time for somebody else to be the first. Sometimes you, well, you know, somebody else would say thank you, or somebody else would do it, then I'd get involved in that kind of stuff. Maybe God wants to use you as the one. Hey, Hebrews chapter 10. Go with me tonight. Look at it with me. We're going to be right back here to Luke. But look what it says in Hebrews chapter 10. We're forever in our Baptist churches quoting Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Forsake not the assembling of thyself together. But look what it says in verse 24. It says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Hey, wouldn't it be good if God used you to provoke somebody else to give thanks to God too? If there's anything that we ought to be willing and wanting God to use us for, it's certainly this matter. We find that his direct response, it was vocal, it was visible, it was valid. It was from the heart. It was genuine. He didn't do it because it was put on or put on a show. He did it because it was in sincerity in his heart. And then look back with me in our passage tonight, Luke 17. We see tonight the deliberate responsibility. Every single one of us as a child of God has a responsibility. We see the direct response and how he showed this gratitude. Then I want you to notice with me the disappointing reality. Verse 17, Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Why out of the 10 that I did something for? Why out of the 10 that I helped and was good to, why is there only one that's coming back and taking time and opportunity to express that gratitude? Ladies and gentlemen, hey, you and I need to understand thankfulness is fundamental to all of us, All of us have that responsibility. But it's only followed through by a select few. And Jesus says, really? Didn't I help 10 of you? And only this stranger came back. And what we find from that is this. It's a disappointment. I want you to think about this. I don't think that these other nine. Now you can disagree with me tonight. That'd be fine. I won't make any issues about it. But I don't think those nine set out to be rebellious and wicked and say, I'm just not going to thank him. I think they got caught up in what happened to them. I think they got caught up in the fact that they get to go home. Remember, they've been isolated. I don't know how long. They haven't seen their family, their children, their spouses, if they have them. They've been separated from them. And they got caught up in the excitement and joy, and they never let it enter their mind what they should have done was take just a moment and give credit to the one who made it all possible. Not wicked. I just didn't think about it. You want to know what the downfall of people is today? Is when we become ungrateful. Hey, let me read you a verse. Romans chapter number 1. We know the atrocities and the sin and that spiral that happens in Romans chapter 1. You know where it starts? Listen to me, verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Ladies and gentlemen, when people become ungrateful to God, they're going to head down into a spiral away from God. God, help us tonight to purposely realize and put our mind to it and say, Lord, every day I want to take the opportunity. If nothing else, I'll tell you this. I got in the habit the last several years. When I get up, say, Lord, I'm thankful that I'm saved another day. Say, preacher, are you afraid that you won't be saved? No, not at all. But I just want to be grateful for it. Because I remember what it was like before I got saved. And I'm glad I'll never have to face those days ever again. Hey, we got so much. That disappointing reality. Those nine had as much to be thankful for as that one did. They got caught up and they went about their business. I'm going to tell you tonight, I believe the downfall of America has been the fact that we quit giving God credit for the things that he's done for this country. That's why we're in the mess we're in. A disappointing reality with God's people. Not just the world, God's own people don't thank him like they should. The Bible says this in Mark chapter 6, verse 51 and 52, it says, when he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. It goes on to say, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. You know what happens is when we fail to give God credit and gratitude, the Bible says it'll cause our heart to slowly to become hardened. See, they had been in a storm. We preached on a storm out of Matthew chapter 4 or Mark chapter 4 last night. But there's another storm right there in Mark chapter 6. And when they got out of that storm, they never even considered the other miracles and all the things that they had done. And it says their heart was hardened. We see the disappointing reality. We see the direct response, the deliberate responsibility. Let me close by telling you this. It's the desired recognition. Do we understand tonight that our Lord desires our gratitude? Right there in the passage, he brings attention to that one. He brings attention to the one that took the time and the opportunity to come back and thank him for what had been done. The Lord desires. Go over to Psalm 100 tonight, would you? This is a psalm that often we make our children memorize. And we have them commit it to memory. But I'm going to tell you, it's a wonderful psalm when we think about what it is. This is an expression of what God desires from us. It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Hey, our Lord desires our gratitude. I'll be honest. I don't like to do some things sometimes for people when they're ungrateful. I don't need a pat on the back, and I don't need my name in neon lights and that kind of stuff. But it sure sometimes rubs me the wrong way, just to be real honest with you, to do something and people act like you owe it to them. You know, the Jews had gotten to that part. They thought because they were Jews, their nationality, they were entitled to the good things of God. I'm not sure Americans haven't gotten that way. We think somehow our citizenship and all the things that we're entitled, hey, we're not entitled to anything tonight. And yet God's been so good to us. And so we see the desired recognition. Our Lord wants us to be grateful. Let's take our Bibles and go to Hebrews chapter 13. Here's the title for the message tonight. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, the Bible says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Verse 16. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. You hear what he said? What sacrifices is that? Back to verse 15, when he's talking about that sacrifice of the lips, in which you're praising the Lord and you're giving thanks unto him. Here's what he says in verse 16. Don't forget to do it. Don't forget it. Don't let it bypass you. Don't get so caught up in enjoying the good that God has given that you forget where it came from. Amen. Title of the message tonight is simply that. Let's not forget to thank him. Let's not forget. Let's not be like those nine that get caught up and they go about their business and never turn around We're so quick in church time to make prayer requests, and we ask the Lord to deal with this situation and help with this medical issue and all these things going on. How many times do we come back when God answers those things and say, hey, I just want to let everybody know we were praying about that, and here's what God did. I just want to publicly thank Him for answering that prayer. We're so quick to ask and so slow to respond with gratitude. Let's not forget. That's not an issue if He deserves it. That's a no-brainer. He deserves it. Let's be quick to give Him the thanks He rightfully deserves. Every head's bowed and every eye's closed tonight.